It's been probably a couple of years since I've had the opportunity to come out to your church here. The bad news is I'm not any better as a public speaker, so hang in there today. We'll try and get through this. Today we're going to talk about a subject, are you a success in God's eyes? And we'll try and wrap this up and get back to that point at the very end. So just hang in there with me for a little bit. So we start out all of our meetings with, hi, my name is David and I'm a sinner. So my name is David Douglas, and I have the pleasure of serving as the executive director for Hand in Hand. And what we are is in-house, long-term recovery facilities for men and women going through substance abuse issues. God has blessed us over the last 6 years with four homes where we're able to help right at 40 men and women on a daily basis at capacity. We are a faith-based recovery program, and we make no apologies for that. We have a dedicated staff who is, every member of our staff is in recovery themselves. I personally have walked a line of addiction that the slightest breeze could have blown me off and ruined all that God had given me. Hand in Hand serves a segment of the population who financially otherwise could not find recovery. If you have a job, if you have insurance, and you're having substance abuse issues, you can go to a program for 30 days and your insurance company will pay somewhere in the neighborhood of $20,000 for that month. Not everybody has that available to them. Our main purpose is to be there for those who don't have the money to find the recovery that they need. By teaching connection and purpose, our goal is to return men and women to society, not just clean and sober, but clean, sober, and saved. Our nation is currently undergoing an epidemic of addiction. In 2016, our Surgeon General announced that our country is in the worst epidemic that it's been in since our existence. This is everywhere. I guarantee you that every person sitting in this room today knows someone who is suffering with addiction issues. Now, we talk about our program and we deal with addictions of substance abuse. But how many of us have other addictions? Right? Food, money, cars, the list goes on. Relapse is something that we try to avoid. Anybody here ever been on a diet? Right? Did you lose some weight? I did. Yep. Did you gain it back? That's called relapse. We are not fighting a war on drugs. We're fighting a war on society. This problem is so severe that the national statistic is that somebody will go to 4 to 5 programs over 6 to 8 years with 6 relapses in between before they get their life straightened out. That's an average. That's how hard this problem is. So how do we think we can make a difference in people's lives? Our first takeaway for the day is success takes connection. Connection is about relationships. See, I often get asked when I speak, what's the success rate of Hand in Hand's programs? So what's success? More money? More stuff? Bigger house? New car? Better job? How do you identify success? As we're talking about our subject matter today, are you a success in God's eyes? What's that based on? See, I've chased money most of my life. I always knew that God put me on this earth to be rich and obnoxious. I spent 35 years as a mailman in the city of Eustis. I've had many other jobs in between. I'm what you call an unsuccessful entrepreneur. In those other ventures, I've made some money. God's blessed me. But years ago, I'd have told you that I don't like people. People will let you down. But God has a sense of humor, and he sent me on mission trips where I had to learn to relate to people. So I went on this mission trip to Guatemala. And any of you that have ever been on a mission trip, you know that you pack lightly, right? You're traveling, you don't know where you're going to be, you don't want a whole bunch of stuff to carry around. So I've got my Bible that I use at home, and it's a study Bible, so it's big and heavy and thick, and I got all my papers in there, you know, like that paper that says, hey, if you're suffering a loss, give them this verse to read. If you're dealing with an addiction, give them this verse to read. Well, as I packed for this trip, I decided not to take that big heavy Bible, and I was going to take a smaller Bible, and I didn't have my cheat sheet with me. So as we got to Guatemala, they informed us that we would be going out into different villages every day, and we would go into people's houses and we would hear their story, and our job was to come up with a Bible verse that pertained to what they were going through so that we could share that with them. And I didn't have my cheat sheet. So I'd heard that many people, when they're in that position or they just don't know what to look for in the Bible, they just take their Bible and they hold it and they let it fall open and allow God to point out that Bible verse that fits. I got pretty lucky all week long. He sent me to the places I needed to go to. You see, God sent me on many mission trips over the last 10 to 15 years. I've been to mission trips in the U.S. I've been to the mission trips abroad. I've actually pulled teeth on three different continents. Then I went on this mission trip to Haiti, which was actually my first mission trip out of the country. I was challenged to go on this mission trip, so I'm a researcher. I go and do my homework, and I find out that Haiti is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. Okay, and we've been sending missionaries down there for 100 years. Why haven't they fixed the problem? So I was single-handedly going to go down there and fix that problem, because I'm a fixer. So as the airplane's coming into the Port-au-Prince airport, I'm looking out the windows on both sides of the airplane, and all I see is tin and stick huts with a bunch of bushes that don't have any leaves on it where they have their laundry hung out to dry. Like, I don't know what I'm doing here. I've never seen anything like this before. I don't know that I can make a difference. As a matter of fact, I told the person next to me, listen, I'll give whatever's in my wallet if I can just stay on the plane and go back home. I expected to find people who were battered and broken and long faces and dirty clothing and sitting around moaning and groaning, and that's not what I found. See, I thought I was there to help people. What ended up happening was I got helped. What I found was people who, by our standards, who had nothing, were happier than I was with everything. Didn't make any sense. I didn't know what to do about that. There's only been a couple of times in my life where I've just been really derailed mentally. I was a basket case for 2 weeks. All right, God, why was I born here and not there? Why am I white and not black? Why have you given me all of this and you've given them nothing? I don't know which was better. Was it all the comforts that I have? Or was it that they actually understood relationships because that's all they had? This changed the way that I looked at people. It changed me. You see, God's idea of success is for us to be like Jesus. That might mean that I'm not a success. But what I do know is that where I'm headed and where I'm at today is so much better than it was 10 or 20 years ago. How do we measure success? The only way that I've found to be more successful in God's eyes is to stay connected to like-minded people. That's why we come to church on Sunday morning, isn't it? If I want to be a plumber, I need to hang out with plumbers. If I want to be a Christ follower, I need to connect with Christ followers. I need to be connected to the right people. Connection is about relationships. Has anybody in here ever had a bad relationship? Right? Boy, we know how to do that. We can take a good thing and mess it up in a heartbeat. And why is it that we'll drop our standards just to be in a relationship? We get lonely. What's the ultimate relationship? Our relationship to God. We tend to think that that's lonely and boring because that's what the world tells us. I can tell you that it's not. Because of that relationship that I have with God, I have a relationship with everybody in this room. That's not lonely. We tend to lower our standards to be in a relationship because we are not content in life. We live in this country where we have so much available to us and we're not content. We live in the land of opportunity. We have more than most. Did you know that if you make $20,000 a year, you're in the top five earning potential of the entire world? $20,000. If we make $20,000 a year, we're complaining. So why aren't we content? Why aren't we grateful? Why do we let the world tell us what we need? See, at Hand in Hand, after every meal, we do this thing called gratefuls. We go around the room and everybody at the table talks about what they're grateful for. How about running water? All right, don't you think the people in the Bahamas right now would be grateful for some running water? Yes. Food? How about air conditioning? How about the fact that your cable didn't go out? Right? Biggest nightmare in the United States. My cable's out. See, we look at verses like Philippians 4:13, and everybody's familiar with this, right? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But we don't take the time to look at verses 11 and 12. They say, I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. Notice the word content. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. In verse 13, in the NIV version, actually says, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. So he's actually giving you the strength to be content. Right? We're a world of complainers. And that's why nobody wants to have a relationship with us. We are a nation who is not content in any situation. Relationships are hard. But we were built to be relational. In Genesis 2:18 it says, "The Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him.'" Sometimes as men, all we can think about is being alone. And then we complain about being alone. And then when we have somebody, we complain about that. We're just never content. God saw that man needed connection. So who are you connected to? Why are you connected to them? So our second takeaway today is about purpose. If you have connection, you need a purpose, right? Why do you get up every day? To do what? Do you get up in the morning and react to the day? Or do you have a plan where you get up and you make the day happen? We're all told to find our purpose, and we'll never work another day in our lives. So where is it? Where are we supposed to be looking for it? Is it in our trunk of our car? Is it out in the woods somewhere? Where's that purpose? Right? Go find your purpose. Everything will be wonderful. Well, where is it? Where do you find your purpose? What's your price? What are you willing to do? I recently met a woman by the name of Liz Bohannon, and she turned this whole idea of purpose upside down for me. See, we've all been out searching for that purpose, and we're told to go out and find it, and then when we don't find it, we're not content. We're supposed to be making our purpose happen. If I had not moved in my life to go on mission trips, God would have not had the opportunity to change me so that I can be doing his purpose today. We need to move in some direction. How do you know if that direction is right? Well, at Hand in Hand, this is the way I explain it to our men and women. Let's say that you decide to go after your purpose and you're going to make a move. So you go to Lake Tech and you sign up for auto body classes. I like cars. That'll be fun, right? So after 6 months of going through that class and working on cars, you find out that you absolutely hate it. So you wasted 6 months, right? No. Because while you were there, you saw the guys and women that were in the welding class, and you really liked what they were doing, and that really piqued your interest. So you go talk to your counselor, and you say, "Hey, I don't want to waste the 6 months that I've been here in auto body, but I just don't like that, and I'm really interested in welding. Can I switch?" If you hadn't made that move in the first place, you'd have never found that your purpose was actually in welding. See, all those years of riding around in a mail truck asking God, "Come on, I need my purpose. You know, I know that you made me smarter than matching up numbers and sticking pieces of paper in a box." I used to tell everybody my job was riding around in a subtropical climate in Bermuda shorts in a self-propelled vehicle handing out cards and letters to happy people along the way. I thought I was waiting on God. Turns out he was waiting on me. He was waiting on me to get right so that I could fulfill his purpose. In Romans 8:28, it tells us, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." So we got connection, we got purpose, we've got our faith, we've got a relationship with God. Why? What's that all about? What's our end goal? What are we trying to get to? Heaven. Amen. Why heaven? Right? It's not hell. That's a pretty decent reason. All right? This intrigued me for many years. All right? I know I've got this faith, and I know the end goal is for me to get to heaven, so, you know, what is it? I need to find that in the Bible. What is it? Well, it tells us in the Bible that, you know, heaven's got streets of gold. That's pretty cool. I could ride on streets of gold. I mean, you know, I like watching Gold Rush on TV. Gold is good. He says that he's gone before us to prepare a mansion. Yeah. I like a mansion. That'd be great. I mean, I've seen some really cool ones on MTV Cribs. But what's so appealing about heaven? Right? Doesn't he also tell us that we get a new body? Right? That there's no sickness? But I heard a sermon several years ago that just really brought it home for me. And this sermon was the last sermon that this pastor would preach. And he was talking about knowing that that was his last sermon and where he was going and why he wanted to go there. Heaven is a place where there is no sin. Can you imagine what your life would be like today without sin? Right? That you could believe everything that you hear, that you could trust everybody, that everyone would be your friend. It takes away the struggles of this world that we're in. See, there's no sin in heaven because God and sin cannot exist in the same place. So in order to get that connection and purpose in our lives, we need to put more God in here and make less room for sin. We need those connections and purpose. By having the right connections in your life, you'll find your purpose. But you have to move in that direction. And these are the things that we teach at Hand in Hand. So finally, the reason that I'm here today, as you came in, you probably saw a whole bunch of these houses. And these are hurricane-proof, by the way. They're a little hard to live in, but they are hurricane-proof, maybe. What we want you to do is to take these home with you. It takes money to do what we do. I'm not expecting any of you to write $1 million check today, but however, I do need to tell you that in the design process, I made these so that if you do write $1 million check and fold it just right, it will fit in that slot. We need your help. These on the average hold somewhere between $20 and $25 worth of change. You come home at the end of the day, you drop whatever change you got in your pocket. Over the next 6 weeks, fill those up, bring them back here to the church, and help us do what we do. Help us to teach these men and women that God has entrusted us with to find their connection and purpose on their way to heaven where there is no sin. So we're going to play a short video for you. Thank you all for allowing me to be here with you today.
Years ago, I was living a life in addiction.
Substance abuse really kind of just tore my life apart.
The Lord sent some women from my church and taught me who I was in Christ.
I was completely empty when I came into this program. I had nothing left except a little bit of fight left in me.
It is evident as we watch the news every night that there is a plague sweeping our nation, a plague of drug use and alcohol abuse to the degree that it's crippling families and it's crippling our society. Hand in Hand Ministry meets that crisis head on.
Hand in Hand is an organization that has brought together a men's home, His Powerhouse of Recovery, and a women's home, the Ruth House in Umatilla, Florida. We're addressing issues of addiction.
I was 23, had been in and out of jail multiple times, lost family members, relationships, job opportunities, pretty much everything. I was court ordered to Hand in Hand on May of 2017 due to my incarceration from substance abuse.
One of the things that's really unique about Hand in Hand is that we have a mental health counselor on staff. And so she can do evaluations and really help us to get to the core of what we need to be doing so that when they are taught the recovery skills that they can actually employ them.
This is the sixth program that I've been through for drug abuse. I stayed with Hand in Hand because they made a difference in my life.
Our church supports Hand in Hand in a number of different ways. We support them financially. We also support them in volunteer work as well. One of the things that drew us to Hand in Hand Ministry was the holistic approach that they took to rehabilitation of individuals into society. It was a Christ-centered approach. The impact that we've seen Hand in Hand make in people's lives is not just in the individuals that are participants in the program at Hand in Hand. It is a family deal as well. And so we have seen firsthand husbands be reunited with their families and moms reunited with their kids.
This program has given me the tools that I needed to combat my substance abuse head on. They've given me the opportunities to learn more about substance abuse, mental health. They've given me opportunities to go to school and educate myself to work in the field of substance abuse. And they've really met me at the level that I was at and showed me how to do life on life's terms.
Several years ago, we were presented here at Lake Eustis with an opportunity to support Hand in Hand Ministry through the Fill the House, Build a House. Every year, we take these blue houses and we hand them out, and we encourage our families to stuff these houses with money, change, dollar bills, checks for $1 million, whatever you want to put in there. And then it goes back to Hand in Hand, and it's been a great blessing for our church and Hand in Hand.
If I had not come to Hand in Hand, I would have no doubt gone to prison. That was the only other alternative that I had.
And I can't think of a more worthy cause than Hand in Hand Ministry.
I'm gonna be with y'all in a minute. The thing about all those cardboards that they just held up, the first side that they held up, man, I know that some of us still feel that way, right? That in our lives and what we do and what God's doing in them, sometimes we don't see God in them, and we believe the lies of the enemy that tell us all those things, that wants us to believe all those things. And to be honest, man, if I did it right now, and I had people who felt, ladies, stand up, turn around, and put the first side up towards everybody out there for me, if you would. And we were honest with ourselves, and we looked at these different things. A lot of us still live in those places, although we hide it well, right? A lot of us, if it's not us, it's somebody that's close to us that live in those situations, that are stuck in those places. But God says something totally different about us. Flip them over again, ladies. That's what God says about us in different ways. That's what God says about our family members. And what I love about the way God works, and we see it with David and Rebecca's life and James up on the video there. And this is the thing that we're going to see in all these ladies' lives that are standing here and that we see in our own life. The situations and the things that we're going through only prepare us to do ministry to help others come through those things. With alcohol, with drugs, with dependencies on relationships and different things, they're all the same. One of the things, I love about being a pastor here at this place is, again, 23 years ago, I used to stumble in drunk and sit on the back row. 23 years sober from drugs, and 18 years sober from alcohol. And because of those things, God has enabled me and others to stand up and proclaim how good He is. And you say, well, I never dealt with any of those different things. But no, but as He said before, addiction isn't just about drugs and alcohol. It's about all sorts of things that we put in our lives, that we put in front of God in our lives, because there's a place that we're trying to fill. Ladies, you can have a seat. I'm sorry, I'm just making y'all stand there the whole time. But God says all these things about us. If you're hurting, He wants to give you peace. If you've got issues and battles that you're struggling with, He wants to give you freedom. And then He wants to use you to help others do the same thing. Once again, the statement He gives to us, He gives through us, not just to us, right? He allows us to find freedom, love, grace, and mercy. And he allows us to be a part. Who am I that you would use me, right? Who am I that you would use me? We're His child. I'm His child. You are too. And all the people that we get to minister to, that we get to witness to, that we get to be a part of the ministries that are doing that, they're God's children too. They just haven't found Him yet, some of them, right? That's the only difference between people that walk in the doors of churches or that believe in, have accepted Christ. There's only two people on this earth, those that have accepted Christ and those that haven't yet, right? And that's the way we need to look at everybody, no matter where they're at or what situation they're in. And I'm thankful, again, as he was saying, that God has given me the things that he's given me and done, put me in the place that he's put me. But he's put me here for a reason. He's put you here for a reason. And what is that? So that we can help bring, as we talked about last week, the ministry of reconciliation, making a right relationship with God, the connection with God that we need, that helps to end all the other things that are going on, man. We have a great opportunity to help. And again, man, if you could fit $1 million check in and do it, if God's put that on your heart. But let me tell you this, if everybody does just a little bit, you know how much you'll get done? Right? A lot. If everybody just does a little bit. And that's an opportunity that we have to sow into the lives of these ladies here and the gentlemen that are at Powerhouse and this ministry that goes on that we see the difference in, right? It's not like we're giving it somewhere and we don't know where it's going to or what's happening and that or what's being done with it. They're very good stewards with what God has put in their hand in hand, right? And we can trust what's going on there because we see the evidence of it on a daily basis around town, right? Some of you guys didn't know they were there, but now you will. Now whenever you drive past the Ruth House in Umatilla or Powerhouse over on in Eustace, you're going to say, oh, man, all right, yeah, I know. That's where that's at. We get to be a part of that. We get to help. We get to see. Might not have our hands on it, but we get to be a help. It's an opportunity for us to do this. Before we stop, man, again, there's somebody going to be out there at the table and talk to them and grab one of those, take it home, put your change in it, bring it back. Don't forget to bring it back. Don't just put your change in it. Don't forget to bring it back. Hey, look, I got a little thing for my change. It's sitting over there nice and neat. No, man, let's help. Let's use what God's put in our hands, man, to help others. Amen? I want you guys to bow your heads, close your eyes real quick. Going back to what I was talking about a minute ago, man, you are feeling one of the thoughts, one of the words that's on this these papers, these cardboards that they held up, man. When they held the sign up that had your name, your word on it, the one that called you out, you felt it in your heart. And you want God to change those things today. You want to have reconciliation, a right relationship with God, and allow him to show you all the things that he wants to show you, what he wants to do in your life, who he wants to turn you into, who he created you to be, and who he wants you to help do the same thing. Today, you haven't accepted Christ into your life. You've got something else in the place of God. Let me say that. And you know it. You're trying to fill a void or a hole with something other than God. Today you want to put it right. You want to give God your everything. The scripture says that because of what Christ has done for us, we have access to boldly come to the Father. We don't have to be afraid or worried, living in condemnation. We can have freedom. But it says this, that you have to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, it says in Romans. So this morning, man, I want to say a prayer. It's not the words that we say. It's not a special magic thing. It's us proclaiming with our mouth, confessing with our mouth that he's Lord and that we accept what he's done for us. I want you guys all to repeat after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, sorry for my sins, the things I've done that aren't pleasing to you. I accept what your son has done for me. The freedom that I have to come to you. Thank you for loving me. Help me be who you created me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 If you prayed that prayer, man, on the communication card, if you'll do me a favor and just fill out, I accepted Christ. Why is that important, man? Because we want to pray for you. Again, the biggest thing that happens when God does something in your life is the enemy comes to try to take it away. And whatever he can do, he can do it. I mean, you know, again, prayer works, right?
Amen.
We need to pray for those who've accepted Christ. And let's give him a hand in the house this morning, man. God is good to us. I'm with Aaron in the fact that I don't think we do it justice to celebrate how amazing it is that people give their life to Christ that changed their life. The scripture says that all heaven is celebrating, right? It's just a big party celebrating people that have come to Christ, right? People that are coming home, being in relationship. Listen, man, find ways this week to go out and to connect with people, to share his love, grace, and mercy. Opportunities at the restaurant that you go to, where you're going. But be sure and be good before you do it, right? You did horrible. Jesus loves you. You know, it's not how we do it, right? It's not how we do it. Again, like last week, we talked about our lifestyle, man. Making a difference, showing Christ through how we act and what we do in situations. So let's go out and do that. Don't forget to sign up for the park, to sign up for the food and things that you want to bring. Don't forget to grab a house and talk to the ladies, man, and the people that are here visiting us this morning, man. If you don't get to know them, it's your fault, right? I'm serious, man. God puts people in our path so that we can connect, so that we can establish relationship. Just what he talked about today, right? And our purpose, what is it? According to Scripture, our purpose is to the ministry of reconciliation, to point people to him, you know? And that's how we do it, by connecting. I love it, man. It's amazing, amazing. We're going to stand up and sing one more song, and then we're going to get out of here and enjoy today, man. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, your love, grace, and mercy, that you're our Father, that you love us, and that you've given us the opportunity, man, to sow into people's lives, man, with what you've put in our hands and what you've put in our hearts as well, Father God. We thank you for that. Help us do that as we go out these doors, and help us just show your love, grace, and mercy. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen.